Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, show sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I'm Terrell Jackson, and I'm joined today with my older brother, Taj Jackson.
What's up?
How's it going, Taj?
It's going well.
Today's December 12th, 2018. I almost forgot the year. few weeks left in 2018, which personally, I mean, I don't really care for this year.
Really?
Besides the birth of my beautiful niece.
Yes.
That's the only the only thing that I mean, there's probably there's some good things in it. We performed and whatnot, but
yeah.
Overall, I didn't like this year.
What was it? Because you didn't get
there's a lot of loss. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of loss. I got robbed. I just did not care for this year at all. And to be honest, I frankly can't wait for it to be over. But that's for another day, I guess. Taj, how was your week?
It's hard for me to remember like what from Wednesday to Wednesday what we did, but I can tell you one thing I did. I went to see Bumblebee.
Oh yeah, you did.
Which
how was that?
I loved, actually. You know what really sucks out of all of it is that normally AMC, they start the movies like 15 minutes late because of trailers. This movie started on time, so I missed the first 10 minutes of it.
Are you sick?
Which was supposedly the most action-packed 10 minutes of it.
Why? So you missed the intro?
I missed the 10-minute intro of it. Like, you know.
You weren't there.
I was in line buying
snacks and stuff.
Because that's... But because this was a special screening,
so there was
no previews. They started on time.
Oh my gosh!
So 7 o'clock they started. When I got in, it was 7:12 with Tiana. You know what makes it even worse is I heard, you know, because we were right next to the theater, so I heard stuff that sounded like Transformers, but I thought it was like, you know, like their intro things, like when they talk about the movie, like, you know, for Optimus Prime, we did this. So I heard stuff. And I'm like thinking, right. Like, should I go check? And then I'm like, nah, they didn't
want to start. So there's no previews or anything?
No, there was not for that special screening. So, but even besides that, missing the first 12
minutes.
I could
only imagine your face when you walked in and it was already started.
But you know what? I'm going back to see the first. They were smart. They got me because I'm going back to see it. I have to see them.
They were smart. They didn't do that on purpose.
Well, AMC probably did.
But you liked it.
You know why I say AMC probably did? Because honestly, I would say about 30 people did the same thing I did.
Really?
Yes. And that's why I said they were smart.
Tough.
Walked in right at like,
oh, that would have irritated me. I don't know if I could have done that.
Yeah. So, you know me, 80s and nostalgia, and it's just like that was everything for me. Like,
so there had to be other Transformers in there, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say too
much,
okay,
that's good.
The fact that you know, I think the one thing, and this is the last thing I'll say about Transformers for today, is that they found a director, or a director found them, that really cared, that grew up with the cartoons and wanted to do justice, you know, with the cartoons. He really wanted to honor it, mm-hmm. and how he remembered it, and it shows. That's it.
That's important.
It wasn't something about just making money and like, oh, this is cool, let me use this name. It was someone that really wanted to make a live screen version of what he remembered.
That's great.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we got kind of, well, I guess we're allowed to talk about our weeks, but I forgot to go through the whole setup everything. So
yeah, do the setup
first. So you know, we are live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We will definitely going to open up Twitter. We'll probably open up the phone line. Yeah, we're going to open up the phone lines. Yeah, we'll have the phone lines as well. So call in with any questions or advice, pointers, anything you want to contribute to the topic. Twitter, Taj, you want to give the Twitter handle?
Sure. Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. That's at and then the letters DDJ and then Foundation. All one word.
So you could either tweet us there. Taj will be on the Twitter. Or you can call in. The number is 323-203-0815. I'll say it again. 323-203-0815. Don't be afraid to call in. I'll be on the phones, so I'll be watching out for your calls. Social media? We covered that. Let's do the disclaimer.
That means me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions. I was doing so well. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. Can I tell you something? As I was reading, I'm like, oh, I kind of memorized. And then that's when I screwed up.
You fell.
Yeah, that's when I fell. I'm like, I'm doing really well. I think I memorized. And then that's usually how it works in my life.
But at least you went for it, Taj. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Holiday season's already here. I feel like it's halfway gone.
It's weird because for me, like, I'm not, maybe because I'm not getting out much. But I'm not really sensing Christmas right now.
It?
No. I mean, I love Christmas. I want to feel it. Like I'm not
feeling the holiday spirit.
Maybe I haven't been in the mall in a little while.
Yeah
I was going
to
say.
Go right to the mall.
Go to the mall. It's like it's right there. I was feeling it around Thanksgiving time.
You don't put decorations up or anything?
No. I'm debating this year, but I think next year will be the year where
you should.
Yeah.
As a father.
Yeah.
As a parent, I recommend you the very first Christmas for Taylor.
Yes, it is.
So I think you should have some kind of thing. You can take the picture of a Santa and all that?
Yeah.
Don't wait till the last minute.
Can you do that? We haven't really taken her really out of the... That's besides doctors. I don't know if I want Santa touching her right now.
You better do something.
I know. She's so susceptible.
Figure something out.
She's not even a month old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm scared if I take her out to the mall, there's kids coughing.
Well, you better do some Photoshopping in something.
I might have to dress up as Santa.
Yep, figure something out.
Daddy, that's you.
All right, let's get back to the show. Yeah. So, I remember last week, Taj, we were talking about how you and I both are guilty. And it's because it's something that's difficult, I think, not only for us, for many people, but... We really, when we lose someone, we really don't know what to say. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, you find yourself kind of falling. I don't want to say you end up doing nothing. I hope you don't, but sometimes you do. But you kind of just, you're in a weird place. So, I researched that a little bit, and I wanted to find something that could help us both on that. So, this list is a list of 11 things to do when you're not sure what to do to help a grieving friend.
Okay. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So this list, I'm sure there's definitely going to be things on here that we've covered before, but I'm hoping after today's show, unfortunately, if we ever have to, well, we're going to, because that's just life. Let's be real. Next time we're in a situation where a friend of ours is going through loss, we'll be able to be better at it.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea with these
11 things. And it's, I don't know, it's like I've gotten better with it, but it's still very difficult. I don't know how you feel. Maybe, I don't know if you've been dealing with loss lately.
Yeah.
With anyone. But it's just, it's difficult. And I think the type of loss and determines a little bit how difficult it is, you know? This year it's been a little bit all over the place. So it's just been a little too much, but that's life.
I don't think it's gotten easier for me. I think what's happened is that, I feel more equipped with what just doing the show. I feel like I have more.
You have the tools.
I have more tools in my arsenal.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. It's like I still have the tools, but it's still difficult for me to use them.
Well, that's because everyone is honestly different. And there's not really, it's not a one size fit all.
So what is that area where it's like I can know what to do and how to do it, but it's still very difficult to put it into action, put it into play?
I don't know. For me, I observe first.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to a couple funerals in the last month and a half, and I did feel more comfortable because I had done the show, and
right.
You know, in terms of that, and just knowing what, just being there, you know, as you said, that was one of the things, you know, being there for the person is important, and you know, listening, and so I don't know, for me the last two ones that I went to, they you know, obviously they're, you know, extremely sad, and but I felt like I was comforting in a way. I didn't feel helpless in that way, but it's, I don't know. It's never easy in that. So,
all right. Well, let's we're going to get to this list, and the list is from a blog that was written by Megan Devine.
Uh-huh.
And she is the author of It's Okay That You're Not Okay, which I think I've heard of that before.
Yeah. And I'll be checking Twitter as well. And if you guys have, if you want to call in too, and add something to one of the topics that we, or not topics, but one of the things that we say, one of the things in the list, you want to add to that, or you kind of want to, I don't want to say disagree, but you kind of want to, you know, show your side of the story of it, because I disagree a lot with some of these lists.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. I'm going to start reading from here.
Yeah.
It says, many people truly want to help a friend or family member who is experiencing a severe loss. Words often fail us at times like these, leaving us stammering for the right thing to say. Some people are so afraid to say or do the wrong thing that they choose to do nothing at all, which is what I was just talking about.
Yep.
Doing nothing at all is certainly an option, but it's not often a good one. While there is no perfect way to respond or to support someone you care about, here are some good ground rules.
All right.
How's that set up, Tosh?
That's great.
All right. we're going to go with this list. So the number one, again, I don't think these are like top 11. It's just listed. So the first thing that they list here is grief belongs to the griever. You have a supporting role, not the central role, in your friend's grief. This may seem like a strange thing to say. So many of the suggestions, advice, and help given to the griever tells them they should be doing this differently or feeling differently than they do. Grief is a very personal experience and belongs entirely to the person experiencing it. You may believe you would do things differently if it happened to you. We hope you do not get the chance to find out. This grief belongs to your friend. Follow his or her lead. What do you got?
I like that a lot. I like that because it's kind of what I started with in terms of you're there for them. And any personal stories you have can be helpful, but don't let that be about you, you know, in terms of like, when I lost this or whatever, this is what I did, because it's really, everyone's different and it's about them and being present for them and supporting them. And so that's what that says. And so
I think it's a very simple, but very powerful. Grief belongs to the griever. We've mentioned it before, when someone's going through loss, although we can relate to loss, we can't really experience the loss that they're going through because everybody,
you have to see it through their eyes.
Yes. Everyone connects differently with the person that's lost.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be feeling something different. And we all have different experiences going through life that, you know, affect and change the way we feel about our life experiences and the person we lost.
I want to say something too, which is interesting. I have two things to say. One thing's a comment, and the other thing's kind of. I'll start with the thing that's non-related, in a way.
Okay.
The call-in number.
I said the wrong number.
No, did you ever even say it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, can you say it again?
Taj.
323-203-0815.
Taj, I said it twice.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah, now you said it three times.
No, I said it twice. You said it once.
Here's the thing. For me, in terms of, I don't know if this is on the list yet, but, cause I'm not cheating, but also don't judge, you know, there's been people that have, you know, when I've gone to funerals and I've seen people and they're crying and all that stuff. And part of me has been like, well, what was your relationship with this person? Or you didn't even seem that close to that person. Why are you reacting this way? But you don't know people's relationship with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, and that person could have said something to that person that steered them in the right direction, or said one, you know, and I've learned that through things, anniversaries of my mom's mm-hmm. passing or her birthday or whatever. I've friends from Buckley have posted like, your mom said this to me and it changed this. And right. I would have never in 100 years thought that mom was close to this person at all, or had any influence in this person's life. So don't be a judge.
So you don't know it all, and don't assume.
Don't assume, because I would have sworn if someone said, you know, did this person ever was close right. to your mom? I would say no. And, right. and the fact is that they're telling this story about how mom.
And it could have just been
one interaction, but that could be powerful.
Yes.
And that's why they're mourning.
That's a good point.
And so I don't know if it's in there, but that's what I wanted to say as well.
That's a good point.
Thank you. That's why I'm here.
Because that's basically saying, don't judge other people as well that are grieving.
Yeah.
That you may not think, you know, why is he or she here, or yeah. why are they acting a certain way?
Because why are they
really
hysterical?
Don't know the impact
yeah, why they, yeah.
for everyone's life. That's very true. Yeah. Good point.
Everyone deals with it differently.
Yep. And you said, okay, you said your second thing was the phone number. Yeah. All right. So let's go to number two, which is stay present and state the truth. It's tempting to make statements about the past or the future when your friend's present life holds so much pain. You cannot know what the future will be for yourself or your friend. It may or may not be better later. That your friend's life was good in the past is not a fair trade for the pain of now. Stay present with your friend, even when the present is full of pain. I think that goes back to you saying they're in a better place, or yeah. things will, you'll be all right.
It's, there's more.
There is? No, there isn't. Oh, yeah, there is. Would you like to read the rest?
Yeah. It's also tempting. It's also
tempting. Don't have to read it all, Todd.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Hey, but hey, you're kind of saying what
just
this
go ahead.
Says.
Go ahead.
It's also tempting to make generalized statements about the situation and attempt to soothe your friend. You cannot know that your friend's loved one finished their work here, or that they are in a better place.
Hey.
These future-based I can't even say that word.
Taj. See, that's why you don't need to read that. All right, generalized platitudes aren't helpful.
Stick with the truth. This hurts. I love you. I'm here.
That word's going to bother me.
It's bothering me.
You're
going
to have to look that up, Taj.
Yeah.
Because that is a word I don't know how to pronounce. But I was actually on target with that.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to read the rest. Because when you said
I was on
the
flow. And I promise you, I didn't read that before.
I know.
But it makes sense.
We're getting
good at this. That's where we were talking about. Basically, stay in the moment. Don't put them, because like we learned from last week, when you say that you're going to be okay, it's almost telling them where their feelings should be, and it puts them in an awkward place where if they don't feel, you know, if they're going to be okay later, then they feel guilty, you know.
Yeah. We have a couple on Twitter. Marlene says, I think maybe sometimes we are afraid of being extremely affected, especially if we are very empathetic. Sharing the grief of someone in mourning, especially if it is someone close. So sometimes and I agree with that, like, it's so, if you're empathetic and you absorb that, it's like, it's a lot of sorrow and a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't be around, I don't want to say you can't be around that, but it's a lot. It's heavy in that way.
Right.
And I think it's still, for me, I've forced myself to be part of that still, because I know what it's the importance of being there, you know, because you're like,
it's not easy.
And that's the hard thing. So that's why I say I force myself to be there, as opposed to, cause you know, it's going to be sad. You know mm-hmm. what you're getting. It's like you're walking into pain, you know, but at the same time, it's important to be there.
Yeah.
And then Nicole, she says, I think maybe sometimes, oh, that's the same one. No, it's not. Nicole says, my gosh. Yes.
It's okay, Tosh.
It's okay.
I won't fire you.
Yeah, okay. Nicole retweeted that one, but that's not, she had her own. So that's why I got confused.
Okay.
I'm trying to do two things here. I'm reading and I've lived something deeply difficult when I was 10 years old, and one of my friends told me yesterday, after all those years, you have to forget and turn the page. It has hurt me. So you got, I understand that in terms of like,
oh, the friend said you have to forget and turn, the page.
And that's, you can't, as a friend, you cannot, there's no turning
the page. I
don't think
that's, well, see, this is the thing. I don't think the friend meant those words. Hopefully, I don't think those were the wrong words. And hopefully the friend didn't mean it that way. I don't know if it's a translation thing. The thing is with loss, you can never forget. Nor should you.
I think don't let it define you. Don't make it everything about you in terms of, in a way, it, if you focus on that only, it can be like cement.
Mm-hmm. You can get stuck.
You can get
swallowed and stuck in it.
And that would have been the better way of saying it, that, you know, you have to acknowledge it, but at the same time, you have to do what you are put on earth to do. And I don't want to say the word grow, but move forward.
And I think that's also an issue, because some people may feel that moving forward, there's guilt in moving forward.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you're moving on and you're forgetting the person that you lost. Like you're moving on and you're getting over it.
Mm.
And simply forgetting, but you're not forgetting. So I know people deal with that.
That's why I always, for me, like what I always like to do is, if someone I'm close to, it's, I always try and honor them in certain ways. So I'm not really forgetting them. I'm saying I need to get strength so that I can honor this person.
And you take them with you.
Yep.
All right. I'll read number three. Mm-hmm. Do not try to fix the unfixable. Your friend's loss cannot be fixed or repaired or solved. The pain itself cannot be made better. Please see number two. Do not say anything that tries to fix the unfixable, and you will do just fine. It is unfathomable relief to have a friend who does not try to take the pain away. I skipped the word in, but whatever. I think that's obvious there. You can't fix a person. You got to just let them go through what they're going through.
Yeah. I think everyone heals differently. And it's one of those things. It's like, there's no magic solution to just be like, here's the magic words and now it's all better. It's just, it really is about being there for them.
There's no one way to do it to get through the grief and the loss. And there's no written rule. There's no timetable. There's no written rule. You just have to, I think as a friend, you just have to support the person and be there for them, and not try to fix things. I believe, you know, support, yes, help, yes. Tools, if you want to provide tools, yes, but I don't think you're able to do the work yourself. I think that's something that the person has to do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that can be also difficult for people that really feel like they have their life under control and that they have kind of not micromanaged, but they're like, okay, you know, everything's been to their beat and now something's thrown in that has changed that, because mm-hmm. it's something unpredictable and that, you know, but let's move on.
I think with loss, the first loss is, I'm trying to think, because our very first loss that we experienced was with our mother.
Mm-hmm. You're saying huge loss.
Yes.
I experienced,
you know what I'm saying?
I experienced a loss with Happy. And you remember that too. So that's where the dog thing comes in, where, you know, my dog Happy, like that was my first big loss and my first big traumatic. You guys were all at the Dodger game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I stayed at home and was looking for Happy. And then she was under the bed, my mom's bed, and I pulled her out and she was stiff. Yeah. And so that was traumatic for me. Like that's when I found her, you know? So it's like that for me is, you know, like, so that's where I also say, and it sounds morbid, but that's where I also say getting a pet helps, because if you
see, that's one of the reasons why
I know that's why I'm saying that's what's the opposite for you. You don't want to get
attached. I don't like that experience. And I think even with Chi Chi, and that was actually the second or third Happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Second Happy.
because I just didn't like that feeling.
Yeah. I think I agree with you, and that's why with Rascal, I didn't get another dog yet, you know, was because that was too painful.
Yeah, you so know, she had... my kids want a dog, and I...
You can't debra.
I know I can't. And I will. It's just so much going on right now, but I just... I don't know. I think that contributes to me not really diving into the whole dog pet thing.
Yeah, but go on. You're saying mom was...
No, I was just trying to think, you know... I don't know how to say this without sounding like I'm trying to say like the first loss when it's got to be harder when it's your someone really close to you versus, you know, going through a loss where it somewhat softens the blow or your first time through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of probably sounded horrible, but
yeah. No. I think it also I know everything softened for me, you know, like after mom passed and grandma Irma passed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, it was softened because mom had passed, you know, and I kind of had expected grandma Irma because grandma
Irma was older.
Had Alzheimer's as well. So I was.
But I'm saying if it was the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you that's know what I mean? Saying. Yeah. So I don't know.
It would have prepared you a little bit more because I don't think we've experienced loss before mom. In a major way. Like, yes, with Happy and, you know what I'm saying?
We had Cousin Tony.
Yes. Yeah. That would probably be the only, yeah, I we thought were, about we that. That's young. Probably the only one. But yeah, we were young.
But still, that hit us. So,
Okay. So we are on number 4, which is one sentence there. Want to read that one, Todd?
Sure. Be willing to witness searing. Unbelievable pain.
Unbearable, Tosh.
Oh.
I gave you one job and you can't do it right.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it again.
Be willing to witness searing, unbearable pain.
Very good. Yeah. All right, so it's saying...
I don't believe in the word unbearable. That's why I'm not kidding.
So basically, it's saying to do this, number 4, be willing to witness searing, unbearable pain, and to do number 3, which was do not try to fix the unfixable, is very, very hard. So basically when you see someone in really bad situation, bearable pain, it's hard to not want to get involved and try to fix it. But you got to remember, it's not your grief. You're there to support, you're there to help, but you can't fix it. You can't solve and repair it all on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That person has to go through it and heal themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think, and now I can talk like this, even though she's only a couple weeks old. I think it's like a parent. Like, you can't be...
Look, coming from the parent advice.
You can't be... You have to let your kids kind of experience, you know, what they're going through, as opposed to you can't micromanage everything and fix everything. And sometimes they have to go through and learn themselves. And I think with the grief, I think everyone has their own journey. And there is, as you said before, there's no timetable. It's not like, oh, you should be over this, or you know, we're still going through a timetable for us. But I think at the same time, we were able, I think we got that benefit from people. Like I don't think there was anyone that really stepped in on us and said, hey, you know, what, do you remember anyone that, I mean, don't say names, but that are guilty of some of these things?
And it's, you know, the thing is if anyone did any of these things or did not innocent, do any of these
they were
things,
innocently done.
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't think, and that's the thing that's hard. And that's why it's hard for me to,
and you gotta remember, to do like 20, something. It was 20 years ago. So they were younger too.
And that's why it's hard for me to do something because I think one thing that everybody hopes is that they don't do the wrong thing. So they try to do the right thing, you know, and sometimes it's such a,
I think doing the wrong and I understand.
You don't want it to come out wrong.
Yeah, but at the same time, not being there is also,
yes,
could be worse.
Yes. So, I mean, I think a lot of people have good intentions, but looking back or even just thinking about some of the things that people said and did, I think it's some of them were in the wrong, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I know they all meant well.
Yeah,
which is most important.
Yeah, they didn't know the right things to say. And as we said, we're not taught this. We're not in school.
We're not.
We're not equipped with the tools to deal with
this. And a lot of people go through life, you know, fortunately, they don't experience like serious loss until they're older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we were unfortunately, you know, I was still a teenager. You were barely, what, 21, Taj? Yeah, you were 21.
I was 21. Yep.
Wow. All right. So let's move on to number five. You got it, Taj?
Yeah. Number five. This is not about you. Being with someone in pain is not easy. You will have things come up. Stresses, questions, anger, fear, guilt. Fear. Sorry, not fear. Fear, guilt. Your feelings will likely be hurt. You may feel ignored and unappreciated. Your friend cannot show up for their part of the relationship very well. Please don't take it personally, and please don't take it out on them. Please find your own people to lean on at this time. It's important that you be supportive while you support your friend. When in doubt, refer to number one.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Yes. And that's, I think we kind of mentioned some of that.
Yeah. This is about them and being, and as much as you would want it to be, not be about you, but don't take anything personal because they're, they're having a range of emotions. And
yeah, and the whole world is really upside down.
Yeah,
so.
And we never did, like, even with, like, people, you know, take it personal if someone said something or whatever. I'm trying to think.
I don't think so. But I think one important point that I got from this was that you can't expect that person to be in their right mind because they're just not. So you can't, the usual things that that person would usually do, you just got to give them a pass, obviously, and be understanding and supportive. Because as much as they try to move on with their life, it's on their mind all the time. I know it was with me. Todd, I'm pretty sure it was with you. But you have to just be supportive and allow them the times to basically check out, in a sense, because that's what they're probably going to do because it's not easy. All right. Number six.
Real quick. April. Says, based on Twitter, I had a coworker who just lost her mom, and it was comforting to her that I just put my hand on her shoulder and said, "Are you okay?" And that I'm sorry for your loss. Sometimes that's all a person needs to know, is that you care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that says a lot right there. And that's, you know, something so simple and small can do so much. And yet something so simple and small for me is hard to do, you know, because it's, I don't know.
Why, you think you need to do more?
It's just, no, it's not that I need to do more. It's just, it's uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to sound like I'm being selfish. It's just, I don't know if it's enough. Yeah, maybe I feel it's not enough, or maybe I don't know if that's the right thing to do, or maybe I don't. I'm trying to figure out, you know, do they want to be bothered? Do they want to be left alone? So, but at the end of the day, when I think about myself, it's like, it doesn't bother you when people just show that they're there for you and that they feel sorry for you and for your loss.
Yep.
So thank you for sharing that, April. Todd, you got number six?
Sure. Anticipate, don't ask. Do not say, call me if you need anything, because your friend will not call. Not because they don't need, but because identifying a need, figuring out who might fill that need, and then making a phone call to ask is light years beyond their energy levels, capacity, or interest. Instead, make concrete offers. I will be there at 4 p.m. on Thursday to bring your recycling to the curb, or I will stop by each morning on the way to work and give the dog a quick walk. Be reliable.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that.
That's like the thing from last week.
Yeah.
The groceries.
Yeah.
Be precise. Offer something. Don't just say if you need me for something, give me a ring.
Yeah.
Offer to do something that you know is in the routine that can help them out, whether it's pick up someone from school or walk the dogs, as they say here, go to the grocery stores. Just give them something that you can help that you know is part of their routine. Mm-hmm. So that is one way to support.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, number 7.
Yep.
Do the recurring things. Go for it, Taj. You're on a roll.
You're going to just make me do the whole thing. The actual heavy, real work of grieving is not something you can do. See, number 1. But you can lessen the burden of normal life requirements for your friend. Are these recurring tasks or chores that you might do? Like things like walking the dog, refilling prescriptions, shoveling snow, and bringing in the mail are all good choices. Support your friend in small, ordinary ways. These things are tangible evidence of love. So, yeah, okay. That's the first part of it. So, should I keep reading?
Sure.
Please do not... please try not to do anything that is irreversible, like doing laundry or cleaning up the house, unless you've checked with your friends first. That empty soda bottle might, besides the couch, might look like trash, but may have been left there by their husband just the other day. Their dirty laundry might be the last thing that smells like her. Do you see where I'm going here? Tiny little normal things become precious. Ask first. That's very true.
I agree with that too.
Do not, you know, because
yeah. Don't want to throw away something of importance. And when you go through loss, it's the simple things that become important. The
silly, simple things, yeah. It's not the big things. It's the silly, simple things. Like the gizmo doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that thing?
I have it.
You do?
Yeah. Remember we had to auction for it? It's in the auction bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the simple things. We auctioned for a gizmo dog. That was a doll. That was probably, at most, $15.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the small little things that just be careful when you're cleaning and
because you think you're being helpful, like, hey, yes, let's clean up the house, you know, get the energy, you know, and all that stuff. But there could be something that they're really holding on to that could be so precious. And so I do like the thing about the walking the dog, filling the prescriptions and all that stuff.
Those are the simple, easy tasks.
Non-destructive things.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't throw anything away.
Yes.
Even if it looks like a mess, do not touch.
Because they might want some of that, some of that mess for the memories. All right. Number 8. I'll do that because I like that number. Tackle projects together. Depending on the circumstance, there may be difficult tasks that need tending. Things like casket shopping, mortuary visits, the packing and sorting of rooms or houses. Offer your assistance and follow through with your offers. Follow your friend's lead in these tasks. Your presence alongside them is powerful and important. Words are often unnecessary. Remember number 4, bear witness and be there.
Yeah.
So that's basically you're there for support.
Yeah.
And these are things that are difficult. The casket shopping, all of that, that's not easy.
No. It's not easy, and it's a lot. You know, and sometimes, you know, because I've witnessed this recently, your friend might be in a mode like just, it's like they're trying to get things done, but they're also like unaffazed by stuff. And you realize it hasn't.
It's like a blur.
It's a blur to them still. They're kind of there, but they're not there. And it's so, it is helpful you being there because you kind of can help make decisions for them too, as well. If it's someone that's close to you and you trust and you kind of give them, you know, you are someone that it's not as much of a burden. And I do have a Twitter thing that kind of ties into that.
Sure.
Suzanne says, I feel like just showing up or saying I will come by brings a burden on the grieving person. What if they want to be left alone? I feel it hard to determine what to do in this situation. I wonder if others feel this too. I can say for me in general, I think that the left alone is very not healthy anyway, you know, for someone to be left alone during a grieving process. And
yeah,
I think no matter what, even if they First of all, I think if you're bringing the right kind of energy in your friend or family member, they definitely don't want to be left alone.
You need to check in.
They need that love, and they need that person there or someone there, because it's being left. They've already experienced loss. That's enough.
They're already feeling alone.
Yeah. If they're alone, then they're going to feel even, it's going to be compacted, because they're going to feel like no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even worse than feeling like there's a lot of people around. I mean, there was a lot of people around when mom passed, you know, but I felt like there's a lot of love.
Right.
You know, I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I got to go say hi to this person, whatever. It was more of, it was a blur to me. It still is a blur to me, but at the same time, I never felt like, why is this person here? You know, they're being a burden, you know?
So if someone wanted to be left alone, what would you say to that?
It depends when. Like, it's scary though for someone to be left alone. Cause it's like they're already feeling a loss, and you know,
I think you can give someone space, but not leave them alone.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, if they need a little space, as you know, I think it's important to be present.
Yeah.
You know, and you can still be present, but give someone their space.
And as long as someone else is not giving them their space, like, I feel like someone should be checking up on that person. Mm-hmm. Like if you're giving them that space, someone better know what the other person, like it shouldn't be everyone giving that person space, because, you know, they could be not in a good mental state
too, you know,
and that's not,
that's you gotta awesome. Check in. You gotta check in.
Check in. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. All right, moving on to number 9. And again, these are 11 things to do when you're not sure what to do and how to help a grieving friend that's grieving. We are at number, Taj? Number 9, you said?
Yeah.
Run interference. To the new griever, the influx of people who want to show their support can be seriously overwhelming. What is an intensely personal and private time can begin to feel like living in a fishbowl. There might be ways you can shield and shelter your friend by setting yourself up as a designated point person, the one who relays information to the outside world or organizes well-wishers. Gatekeepers are really helpful.
Yes. And that's a good point, because that kind of counters stuff, but it's in a good way.
Yes, I think you need that, because, once again, here's the space thing. Like, you... certain people, I should say, it can be overwhelming, and you can be surrounded quickly with people that you, I don't want, it's all great and it's all love, but sometimes you just, you know, let's be real. You have your close friends, you have your family, and you just have the people, you know, and when you lose someone, hopefully all of them are going to come around, but you really want to just be with your close friends and your family for the most part. And you want to have people, the gatekeepers, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people coming to that person. So if you can be that person for them and kind of shield them from the wave of quote unquote associates that are coming around, it could be helpful.
Okay. I'm going to push back there, because I think the associates it's kind of what I said in the first one, where you don't know who the associates are in their relationship. They might be coming to feel close and to feel like this is their time to give back to this person that influenced their life or changed their life or this and that. And it's like
I hear you,
you know, like, and then be like told, no, you aren't close, you know, you aren't family, you know, or something like that. Family only kind of, I mean, you have to be respectful too.
Let's take a phone call.
Oh, phone call.
Thank you for calling in to the Power of Love. Who do we got on the line?
Hi, guys. It's Meredith.
Meredith, how are you doing?
Fine. And the crazy thing is, I said, I wonder if they're going to answer the phone today. I just tuned in because I forgot, because it's been crazy. What is the actual topic? I heard a little bit about giving your friends space when someone is lost. I know that's so rude of me.
It is.
Sorry, guys.
How dare you?
We are talking about helping a friend, a grieving friend.
Yeah.
And these are 11 things that to do when you're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I heard when you, like I said, when you were saying give them space and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because I wanted to talk to you guys like last week, because you remember I told you guys my mom had died.
Yes.
And then my mom's baby brother just died a couple of weeks ago on Thanksgiving. And it sort of coincides with what you're saying, but they're not friends, but I'll say cousins since they're my first cousins. Uh-huh. I didn't know how to approach them really because you don't really don't know what to say a lot of times, even though I had just went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. But when you say give them space, isn't that what you just said with one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. That part I sort of agree with because I know when people lose someone from me going through that and with you guys going through that, you notice that a lot of people will start calling and texting and mm-hmm. all that. And to me, it could get overwhelming. And I think I heard you say you do tend to be around your close friends and family because they're more, they know you better. And it's like, I don't know, it's a more intimate type thing. But I don't know. It's like it's, you want to be there for them. But it's sort of hard sometimes because you don't want to say the wrong thing. And at the same time, getting back to that space thing, you do want to sort of give them space because you don't, they don't want to be overwhelmed and you don't want to just keep making them trigger, like, I guess, trigger the emotion to make them break down. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
And that's been the hard thing, I think, with everything in terms of just with loss, because everyone is different. You know, I have a friend that when she lost her husband, she wanted everyone around that knew her husband because she wanted to fill in those missing pieces. It kind of helped, like a puzzle piece, kind of put the life, you know, and the husband was such an amazing person that he had influenced everyone that he had touched. And so I understood that.
Let's do this because we're running short on time. Let's read, Taj, read number 10. And Meredith, let's get your thoughts on that. Okay. On number 10.
Okay.
Educate and advocate. Yeah, that's right. You might find that other friends, family members, and casual acquaintances ask for information about your friend. You can, in this capacity, be a great educator.
Albeit subtly.
Yeah.
Struggling.
Yes, very struggling. You can normalize grief with responses like, she has better moments and worse moments and will for quite some time. An intense loss changes every detail of your life. Okay, I'm fading. You want to take it over?
If someone asks you about your friend a little further down the road, you might say things like, grief never really stops. It is something you carry with you in different ways.
Okay, good cover.
Oh, true.
Yeah. And is that how you feel as well? Like, I mean, for me, grief definitely never stops. And I do feel like...
Yeah, you carry it with you at all times.
It's like a card.
Yeah.
In your wallet. Just, or your purse.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, you constantly... Loss never... I don't think you get over it. We've said it many times. You don't get over a loss. You just learn how to live with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I take from that.
Yeah, I still don't understand this one. But
anything, Meredith, on that one?
On that one, I definitely agree. With Christmas coming, man, it's been hard because knowing this is my first Christmas without my mom. Mm. But the one thing that did help is something I learned from your show previously this year is to do something that may help me remember her because I don't want to shut down and not yes. celebrate. So right here lately, I've been doing a lot of cooking because that's what she was known for.
Great. I love
and
it.
I think that's been, it's like a comfort feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's how I feel that space right now. But like grief never goes away. To me, sometimes it seems like it gets worse as
yes.
time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, and it hits you at different moments. You know, you go up and down with your emotions. I know for me, I was in the studio the other day writing and I kept seeing my mom dancing. Like I just aww. Missed her because I knew she would be dancing to it, and I just missed the way she would dance. So you have your moments, and little things trigger little things. And I'm sure as Taylor, Taj's daughter, gets older, he's gonna realize.
With her cute self.
Yeah, he's gonna realize what a loss it is, and it's just nonstop. I'm probably the wrong teacher, but I get what you're saying. But Meredith, we want to thank you so much. We're almost out of time, so we're gonna finish up the show. And let
okay.
you go. But thank you for calling in. And if
okay,
we don't speak
you guys
to you,
have
a wonderful
show.
Christmas, okay?
Right. Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Keep
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye.
That's a great call.
Yes.
We got one last one, Taj.
Yes.
And to me, it's the most important one. Yeah. You want me to do it? You got it?
Go ahead.
Number 11. Number 11 is the most important to me. It's love.
Love.
Above all, show your love. Show up. Say something. Do something. Be willing to stand beside the gaping hole that has opened in your friend's life without flinching or turning away. Be willing to not have any answers. Listen. Be there. Be present. Be a friend. Be love. Love is the thing that lasts. It's perfect.
That's the great way to end that, because it is true. I think if you go in with the mindset that I'm here just to give love and to be supportive, you really can't lose in that way. Because somehow you won't, I'm not saying you won't say the wrong thing, but somehow you'll know what, like, because if you go in with that mindset, I'm just here to be supportive, and you play that supportive role, that's exactly what's needed.
Love is the most powerful thing in this world.
Yes.
So we're going to end it, the show, because we're out of time. That was the most important one to me, love.
Yeah.
On the Power Number of Love. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us, tweeting, calling Meredith. Thank you. Those were the 11 things to do when you're not sure what to do and how to help a grieving friend. Thank you all. I'm not sure if we'll be here next week. If we are, we will see you then. If not, enjoy your holidays. Taj, anything else?
No. And have a happy holidays.
That's it. We'll see you guys next show, whenever that may be. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.